It's good to see everybody here this morning. We're going to have a lesson that's two parts. Part one today and part two next Sunday, Lord willing. But anyway, it's titled, God Has a Controversy with the Land. And this should really come as no surprise to us, because lessons from the past illustrate sad conditions in our country and in our churches. And we know that a fellow a long time ago said, if we don't learn the lessons from the past, we're doomed to repeat them. Well, history repeats itself, and it's happening again. What happened 2,740 years ago basically is still happening today, and God is not pleased with the outcome. So we're going to talk about this. And this is all based on Hosea 4, verses 1 through 3. It says, listen to the word of the Lord, O sons of Israel. For the Lord has a case, or the Lord has a controversy against the inhabitants of the land. Because there is no faithfulness, or kindness, or knowledge of God in the land. There is swearing, deception, murder, stealing, and adultery. They employ violence so that bloodshed follows bloodshed. Therefore, the land mourns, and everyone who lives in it languishes, along with the beasts of the field and the birds of the sky, and also the fish of the sea disappear. Now, for most of this, you might think this is a description of our world today. And that would be a very fair assessment. So, let's look at that. God had a controversy with Israel because basically they rejected his law. They rejected his word. And God has a controversy with any and all people that refuse to be guided by his counsel. And he really does. And there's a lot of people that refuse to be guided by God. And just as God had a controversy with Israel of old, we want to show that he has one with the people of our land. And really, for the same reason. I mean, God doesn't change, so if he had a controversy for the things they did, if we're doing the same things in our country, then yeah, that's the case. And when we speak of this, we speak of it in general. And because individually, yes, there are faithful Christians throughout this land. There's faithful Christians in every state of this nation, and sometimes they might be in areas that are few and far between, but sometimes, like in the Bible Belt, there'll be just a plethora of churches that are faithful to the Lord in various areas. God has a problem with the people of this land, and we'll see why. Because there's not much faith in it. I mean, this is the first point. There's not much faith in it. And not many people believe the Bible. We know that's the case. And yet the Bible is the Word of God. I mean, there might be a lot who read the Quran. There might be some who read the writings maybe of Buddha or something like that. But still, there's not many people that believe the Bible. Even a lot of people who read the Bible don't even believe it. And that's true. That is a problem that we have in our land. And so, the Bible reveals the only true and living God to us. And without it, no man can know or believe that Jesus is Lord. And so that's very true. And so Romans 10:14, how then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? I mean, that's true. So we've got to get the message to them. Now, who is the preacher? It's not the person who graces the pulpit every Sunday. If you're a child of God, you are the preacher. Remember that. Just because you don't stand up here in the pulpit every Sunday doesn't mean you're not a preacher. Every Christian is to share the message, just like in Acts 8:4 when they were all persecuted and they went everywhere preaching the word. We all have that duty and responsibility to share God's message with others. Romans 10:17, so faith comes from hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. And so that's what we can do. And we can teach not only by our mouth, but we can teach by what we send out on social media and through email and communication that way. We can teach. The lessons that I send to you, just forward them on to all your friends. People need to hear these things. They need to learn these things if they want to go to heaven. Come on. There we go. All right, in these passages, we find this great truth. See, if men do not hear and believe the word of God, they cannot believe in God and the Christ that this word reveals. And men who do not believe in God cannot please him. That's true. There's no way they can be pleasing to God, because God tells us how we can be approved of him and pleasing to God, and it's through his obedience to his word. See, Hebrews 11:6, and without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. See, there are many infidels in the land. Well, guess what? We hear that all the time, don't we? I mean, anybody who's not a Muslim is an infidel as far as they're concerned. And when we say infidels, we're not necessarily talking about the worst of the worst and the most wicked people you can imagine. Just people who just don't believe in God. I mean, they're considered infidels as far as God is concerned. And there's a lot of those. You know, atheism has eaten, as does a termite, into the schools of our land. It's gotten in there where they can't even talk about God anymore. You can't bring up any elements from the Bible in your studies. When you cannot question your biology and your history teachers by saying, but wait a minute, that's not what God says. I mean, that'll get you into trouble these days. And atheists say in their heart there is no God. And that's what they promote. There is no God. And Psalm 53:14 says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt and have committed abominable injustice. There is no one who does good. See, 30 years ago, only one college professor out of four believed in God. Now it's probably less than that. One out of 20 might believe in God. And then, of course, a lot of them have learned just to not talk about God if they want to keep their jobs. Because other college professors have mentioned God and gotten fired for believing in God. And so, yeah, they like their tenure. They like their the money they get being a college professor. But very few are going to tell you that they believe in God. In fact, there's a place in Abilene, Texas called Abilene Christian University. Half of their professors do not believe in God. And they're a Christian school collecting money from churches of Christ? Now, there's a problem there. God has a controversy with that, and we should also. So, it's even less now. See, our universities teem with infidelity. I mean, they teach the organic evolution as taught as a proven truth. It is evolution. This earth is billions of years old, and man came from some slime pit through the one-celled amoeba, and then it split up, and then all of a sudden different creatures started coming out. We crawled out of the pit and crawled around on our bellies for a long time. Then we jumped up into the trees and swung around in the trees for a while. Now we've developed into mankind, humans. Well, they teach that as fact. Even in our Christian universities, they teach it as fact. See, many of our colleges and university professors scoff at the idea of believing the Bible, or at least believing everything that the Bible says. They might say, well, I believe in God, I believe Jesus Christ is my Savior, but the flood, I mean, that doesn't make sense. That doesn't happen. Jonah swallowed by a whale, that doesn't make sense. the walls of Jericho falling outward? Well, they scoffed at that for many years until finally when they dug up Jericho, they found out the walls did fall outward. And that kind of put that argument to rest. But they scoff at the Bible in just about everything. See, unbelief is not peculiar to just the infidel. See, many religious people do not really believe the Bible. If they did, they would probably worship God correctly. But they don't. They choose to worship God any way they want. Many of those who profess faith in Christ deny the divine authority and inspiration of the Bible. Most of them will say, well, the Bible is obsolete. It doesn't apply to us. It was a love letter written back to those in the first century, and it doesn't apply to us today. And that's what many of them do. And some of these are modernists who deny the miracles, the virgin birth of Christ, the resurrection, and they deny that heaven and hell even exist. I mean, that's taking place. And that's just not in the universities and schools of our land. That's in the churches of our land. They're teaching those things. See, this is not faith or the kind that pleases God. Add to all this the many millions who have accepted human creeds instead of just going to the Bible, taking it for what it says, and you can see why there's not much faith in the world today. Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And he who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. In Galatians 1:6-9, Paul gave this warning. He made this statement. I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another, but only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even though we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to that which you have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we've said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to that which you received, let him be accursed. So that's what man does. Man changes what the Bible says and teaches something different. So they're going to be accursed for that. Another reason God has a controversy with the land is there's not much knowledge of God in it. And that's very true. I mean, many men and women know much about many things, but only a few have a knowledge of God. A small percentage and segment of our society is really familiar with God's word well enough that they understand it and teach it properly. Very few of them are. I mean, 1 Corinthians 3:13 says, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness before God, for it is written, he is the one who catches the wise in their craftiness. So many will object to our saying our land lacks a knowledge of God because, well, look, we have so many religious institutions out there. Every town you go to, there's churches. There's this kind of church. There's that kind of church. In some big cities, you have many churches. And so that's just not right to say there's not a knowledge of God in the land. Well, let's keep going. See, Paul says, a man that will not consent to the teaching of God's word knows nothing. I mean, if God gives us the information and if we don't want to live by it, we're basically one who knows nothing. And so in 1 Timothy 6:3-4, if anyone advocates a different doctrine and does not agree with sound words, those of our Lord Jesus Christ, and with the doctrine conforming to godliness, he is conceited and understands nothing. But he has a morbid interest in controversial questions and disputes about words, out of which arise envy, strife, abusive language, evil suspicions, and even more. I mean, so, and we've dealt with people like this. They don't want to follow the Bible, so they come up with all these stupid questions which they think will trap us and things like that. But there's a Bible answer to every question that is asked. Someone says, these men are brilliant. They know what they're talking about, and they are intelligent. They're wonderfully educated. Oh yeah, and they've written books. And guess what? Many people read their books and believe what those books have to say, and they're lost just because of it. I mean, these people do know a lot of things. And they were brilliant men in Athens in Paul's day, too. But the only God, the true God, was unknown to them. They worshipped, but Paul said in Acts 17:23, "For while I was passing through and examining the objects of your worship, I also found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' What therefore you worship in ignorance, this I proclaim to you." And so, many are ever learning and never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. And you know, 2 Timothy 3:7, that's what Paul said about these people. They're always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And so that describes a lot of people. They're always learning about this or that. They're learning about words and things like that, but the truth actually evades them. And it's only because they don't want the truth. See, men may know all about the doctrine and commandments of men and still be destroyed for lack of knowledge. Yeah, there's some people we deal with. They know all about the Baptist doctrine. They know the Methodist discipline. They know the Catholic catechism, and all these other things, but yet they're going to be destroyed for lack of knowledge. You know, Hosea 4:6, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being my priest. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children." I mean, there's consequences. When people turn their back on God, there's going to be consequences, and they're not the only ones going to be affected. Everybody will. See, it is the knowledge of the truth that counts, and God's word is truth. That's what Jesus said, "Sanctify them in the truth, thy word is truth." And it is God's word that frees. "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." See, it is the failure to obey the truth of the gospel that will bring the vengeance of God upon us. In 2 Thessalonians 1:8, "Dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus." And truly, God has a controversy with the inhabitants of our land because there is not much knowledge of God in it. All right, the next point, because there is not much godliness in it. There's a lot of people not even trying to behave in a godly manner. I mean, there's many people who go to church every Sunday, but yet their lives reveal a type of worldliness. They don't have godliness in their lives. See, perilous times have come, and Paul describes such of these in 2 Timothy 3:1-5, says, "But realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power, and avoid such men as these." Now, who do you know that fits in this category? Just about everybody, right? Just about everybody you know, and most people in this society we live in, this describes them to a T. So yes, we are in the last days. There's no doubt about that. See, there's too much for formality and hypocrisy is what some people might say. Church is just too formal, and it's full of hypocrites. And there's too much feigned faith and love. In other words, it's not genuine faith, and there's not enough of the genuine type of faith and love that we need. Everybody puts on a front, so they're all hypocrites. There's too much theory and too little practice. Yeah, I mean, it sounds good. When we talk about living a Christian life, that sounds good, but putting it into practice, that's another matter altogether. And there's too much form of godliness, but too little power behind it. I mean, there's some people, I mean, they go around all the time saying, praise the Lord, God is good and blessed and all this stuff, and yet they're still living a sinful worldly lifestyle. And that really, that doesn't do anything. That just really harms the cause of Christ. Because here are these people pretending to be godly people, living just like people in the world, and people in the world who need to see godliness, they're looking at that. They're no different than we are. And so, I mean, that doesn't move them in any way. So we have faith without works, salt that has lost its savor. Yeah, faith without works, we know James says, is dead. It doesn't work. But there's too many people who claim to have faith, but they don't do anything. How does God feel about that? Well, I wonder sometimes. I don't have to wonder because I've read what God feels about that. See, we perceive that men are as religious today as they were in Athens. Very religious, but their religion is vain because it is not from God. They've come up with their own types of religions. Matthew 15:7 says, you hypocrites, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching his doctrines, the precepts of men. And many people, like I say, oh, we love the Lord. We do these things, but you know what? Their heart is somewhere else. Their heart is not in tune with God. It's in their own selfishness that it is. And so they're happy to teach the doctrines of men. So truly, God has a controversy with us today because there's not much godliness. And the fourth point, because there's not much character in it. You know, we used to recall the days when people said something, you took them at their word. Where we realized a man's word was his bond. And if he said something, yeah, you could count on it. We used to be able to count on people. We can't do that anymore. Even among our brethren. They say, well, we'll do it. But then it doesn't get done. See, Peter told men in Acts 2:40, and with many other words he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. I mean, we can pretty much say the same thing. People need to be saved from this perverse generation. And there is too little honesty among men. And we know that's true. And too few will tell the truth always. If they can lie and get away with it, if they can lie to protect themselves or someone else, then they're going to do that. And they have no problem doing that. The few willing to tell the truth are usually mocked or maligned and ignored. I mean, that's quite obvious, isn't it? See, there is much graft, lying, stealing, and many are the devices of the dishonest to get gain. I mean, that all goes in with what Paul said there in 1 Timothy 3. And so, it's going to happen. Dishonest teachers are stealing God's word from the people. People, teachers who, well, they knew if they preached the truth, they wouldn't have an audience. You know, a fellow by the name of Billy Graham told that to some brethren one time. They went in there, they showed them, here's what the Bible says about salvation. Here, believe, repent, confess, be baptized. He says, I agree with that, but if I teach that, I won't have an audience. Billy Graham said that. He told that to people. And that's how many of those televangelists and all those big name people, they're stealing from God's word. They're stealing God from the people. See, Jeremiah 23:30. Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, declares the Lord, who steal my words from each other. Yeah, they were stealing the words from God and not giving the people what they were supposed to be giving them. They were taking words that they found popular prophets out there that people loved to listen to, so they started borrowing their words. Oh yeah, all you have to do is believe and you'll be saved. How popular is that nowadays? It's very popular. Why? Well, somebody said it and people liked what they were saying, so maybe they'll like me if I say the same thing. So that has grown. That doctrine has grown. See, there is a mad scramble for position and fame, especially of those trying to be some sort of self-proclaimed prophet. See, the chief concern today is sex appeal. And, of course, respect has vanished. We know that. Sex drives everything in our society these days. The lure of sex, the way people dress. In other words, some guys think they're going to get lucky. I mean, that's how it is. And girls think they're going to get lucky, too, just depending on how they dress. If they dress like a hooker, guess what? They're going to get lucky. I mean, that's what the people are going to look for. And then, of course, respect. Respect for others. We know that has vanished. Our young people are not taught to respect their elders. They're not taught to respect those in authority. They're not taught to respect each other or even themselves. See, the world is walking in the ways of Hollywood, doing the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And a lot of times, what these people put in these movies, oh, I want to try that. I want to try that. That looks like fun. Romans 3:18. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And you know, that's what drives practically everybody. They don't fear God. They don't respect God. And whatever they're doing, they're just doing to do. A lot of them don't even know that there is not a God. There is a God. A lot of them don't even know that. And so whatever they do, just what is their thing? So truly, there's not much character in the land. See, today we've covered four reasons why God has a controversy with our land and our churches in the land. As Christians, we should have the same concerns that God has. We should have the same controversy with the things going on. And we have loved ones, we have family, we have friends, we have neighbors who are involved in all this stuff. We just need to do our best to try and capture them and bring them out of sin. We know they're destined for the eternal fire. We should be like Jude 23 says, snatch them out of the fire. Do what we can to help them. So we've seen there's not much faith in it. There's not much knowledge of God in it, because there's not much godliness in it, because there is not much character in it. But do we give up hope? No, because we still have those who are faithful and who will remain faithful. And that's what we need to be a part of. So Lord willing, we'll discuss some more subjects in our next lesson. So think about these things, and we will cover some more areas next week, Lord willing. We haven't really talked about the gospel message, the gospel, the power of God unto salvation. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And then, so since everyone in this room has done that, we know what that means, but the question is, have we been living faithful as we should? And we never know that. We never know what's on somebody's mind that maybe they feel they need to make a confession. So if that's the case, we're going to invite you to come all together. We stand and sing.